Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, contributing editor and film critic for Las Vegas Weekly. And joining me this week is Jeffrey K. Howard of VegasFilmCritic.com and KVBC Channel 3 and KVCW. Is that the call letters?
That's the right one.
So
your listeners couldn't see, but I gave you a cue.
That was very good.
I learned that in the Greenspun School of Communications.
At least you learned something.
Yeah, I learned all the time cues. So when we set the thing to record here, I gave you the go cue.
That was perfect. I wouldn't have known to go otherwise.
No, so that was an entire day we learned that. Yeah. I practiced that just like that.
I remember it from Wayne's World, where they have to teach the guy to do it without speaking, where you count down from five and...
True story real quick about the Greenspun School of Communication.
Yes.
When I took Television Production 1, my teacher was not going to pass me in that class because I could not learn how to wrap one of these audio cords. There's a specific way you're supposed to loop them and stuff.
Hmm.
And, you know, I couldn't tie my shoes till first grade. You know, I couldn't cut and paste. I'm not one of those kind of guys that can do things with my hands.
Sure.
Well, certain things. But I can't cut and paste. I'm not that kind of person. So when they're like, here... wrap this cord up, I'm like, I threw it in his face. I can't do it, you know?
So you threw it in his face?
Well, it's metaphorically.
Okay, that's good. Because that might have been the reason you wouldn't pass if you were throwing things in the teacher's face.
I did. Well, money talks.
Okay.
It's Vegas, you know?
Awesome. All right. Well, let's talk about Transformers.
The toys or the movie?
Well, let's start with the movie. And we could talk about toys, too, if you want.
The second movie.
The second movie, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Which opened this week. It opened like Tuesday night at midnight and all the crazy.
Like 60 plus million. It blew Harry Potter out of the way.
Yeah.
Or the Phoenix by like 20 million or something.
Something like, it's crazy. I mean, people love the Transformers, so.
Well, it's so promoted. You can't pass a 7-Eleven without seeing Bumblebee, Slurpee, and, you know, everywhere you look, it's just your program to go see this movie, you know?
Right, which I think is unfortunate because it's not a good movie. I think, well, this is you're giving me a look, so maybe you don't agree.
Oh,
but
are you kidding? You need like a little welder's mask by the time I'm done chewing this film
and
spinning it
out. Well, I'm glad.
It's atrocious.
It is atrocious.
I don't even know where to begin with this because it's 2.5 hours of dreck, bloated. You know, come on. The effects are absolutely amazing. There's never going to be a movie made in the 21st century where the effects aren't going to be just mind-blowing, and especially with this. But we've got 2.5 hours of special effects with maybe 20 minutes of something that resembles a plot. There's two different movies going on, by the way,
too. There's about 8 different movies
going
on.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Bumblebee, you know, Shia goes to college, and the second one is Indiana Jones and the Transformers, you know.
Yeah.
So there's two of them in there, and somewhere in between, the Decepticons are upset about something. You know,
never really figured out what they were upset about.
I can't even get everything out of my mind that I want to talk about. Yeah, I don't even know where to begin, I'll follow you.
It's tough. Yeah, I mean, I think the 2.5 hour length is really egregious because even if you want to take the perspective that, oh, come on, don't think about it too hard, it's just an action movie, like, if you're sitting there for that long, you're going to be thinking about it, and they're just inviting the criticism. I mean, and all the convoluted plot threads, every time the action stops and one of the characters decides to explain what's going on,
right. It's
just mind-numbing. It's impossible to figure out.
It's just pointless.
Well, that too,
you know,
yes.
It's pointless. For some reason, the Decepticons want to take over the Earth and destroy mankind unless they get Shia. And say, you know, they go on television and go, you know, what's his name? Megatron, whatever.
Megatron? Was it even Megatron? See, I couldn't even figure this out.
Yeah, because he was
Megatron
at the bottom of the ocean.
Okay.
You know, I mean, there's nothing I'm giving away, folks. You won't remember this. Trust me, after the first hour of explosions, it just kind of erases your memory. They find the bit of the cube from the first movie, you know, the all-powerful cube. There's a sliver of it. The allspice. They take it down to the bottom of the ocean where they dropped him in a trench and just put it near him or on top of him, and he's back to life. You know, this is the movies.
Yeah, so. This all washed. Because there was another big villain, too, in the movie. The Fallen.
The Fallen himself.
Was a big villain, yeah.
Yeah, and for then some there was reason a... he lives near Saturn's moons or
right.
something.
And there was a third important villain who was helping the Fallen, right?
Who looked like some old, you know, Moses-looking
character.
Well,
not that guy, because he turned out to be a good guy. There was it Starscream who was intercepting the communications in space
or
something?
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
See, it's so freaking hard. I honestly...
I don't know who was who in this movie.
I had no idea either. I went home after seeing this movie, and I went to IMDb to find out whether Megatron was even in the movie, because
I'm sure, I think that it was Megatron.
Yeah, no, I believe you. I believe you.
He gets on television, and he says, we want Shia because he's got these symbols in his brain for some reason... and they need to get these symbols out of his brain and what he knows so they can find the Fallen's new source of power. What was the name of it?
The other thing? It was like, it was called The Matrix.
It was ridiculous. Called The Matrix. Yes. Yeah. Let's not confuse anybody. So it's called The Matrix, and some reason that the Transformers have been here for centuries. They helped build the pyramids, I guess. You know, there's
of course,
another.
It was the Predators who helped build the pyramids in Alien versus Predator. Yeah. So
well,
maybe
even see Stargate. I mean, that's a whole other thing, but everyone's
Predator versus Transformers, maybe someday.
Everybody claims to build the pyramids now, except the Egyptians. And so they have to head to Egypt and find out where this power source has been hiding for centuries, you know.
Yeah.
And so they can rule the world. Now, what kills me is that the Decepticons want to rule the world. They said, we're going to destroy your planet unless you turn over Shia.
They want the sun. They want the energy from the sun, I think it was, because the Matrix thing allows them to drain the sun. And I can't believe we're spending this much time trying to explain the plot of this movie.
Well, this is only one little piece of it. Yeah. This has nothing to do with – there's so many other things in this movie that's going on. But I'm just trying to explain that they threaten to destroy the world unless Shia, who holds the knowledge to what they want, or they're going to destroy the world. But in this one, common machine guns are taking down these Transformers. Did you notice that? In the first movie, they had shields, and it was like almost impossible to defeat them. Here, they're using tanks. They're using bazookas. They're coming down quite easily.
Well, they bomb them with the planes, too.
Right, but in the first movie, they couldn't destroy these things. That's why people were free. They were destroying everything. This one, it's just like kind of like Starship Troopers. You shoot these things long enough, they go down.
Right.
You know, so I noticed that right off the bat.
Really?
The final battle, remember, everybody was running, but the military was holding their own. They were doing pretty good. So I'm like, why in the world are they afraid of these people, of these Decepticons, when they go down so easily, unless there's a million of them? But I think there was only maybe 30 or 20 or
Knows. I don't. There were too many, though. They all look the same. That's what's so frustrating. It's like you can't follow these action sequences because I could not half the time tell which robot was beating on which other robot.
Right. Why.
Why? Yeah. Why is a separate question. But who, I think, was my first question. And in order – if you want to sit there and you're just basically on a base level, you want to root the Autobots, we are going to beat the Decepticons. That's all you care about. You can't even figure out whether that's happening half
the
time.
Well, but the first movie was all Autobots, right? It was all...
There were Decepticons.
They came at the very end of the two-hour-plus movie.
Oh, okay.
This one, it's all Decepticons.
I think I blocked too much of that first movie out of my memory.
And, folks, I'm not ruining anything. Optimus gets taken out of commission for a while. Don't worry. He'll be okay. But, I mean, so the whole movie just... is the Decepticons the whole time. The bad guys rule this movie, okay?
Yeah, but they're not interesting.
No, but what's interesting is, and if you loved them in the first movie, folks, they have a nice juicy part, is the parents are back.
Oh,
they go to school with Shia to set him up at his
and the mom eats pot brownies.
And she's stoned and running. I mean, first of all, this is I have to get into this. This is supposed to be a family film. Not only do they say the F word, not only do they say, bitch ass, I don't know if I can say these things, or all these kind of things. They say some of the most inappropriate things in this movie, and there were like 6-7-year-old kids next to me in my screening.
Yeah.
I mean, a row of them.
Right.
And the Ramon guy, the college roommate that's annoying, that's an internet kind of the truth is out there kind of guy, saying the F word and all this stuff. And I'm like, I turn to people, I go, did he just say what I think he said? And the studio kind of, I sort of, I go, why are you doing this? And they blow up, he didn't say that. I go, are you kidding me? He shouts it at the top of his lungs when that Transformer is trying to take them in.
I mean, that doesn't really bother me so much because... I mean,
it doesn't?
No, it really...
It can't make up its mind if it's a family film or it's a borderline R film with action, like an Independence Day or a Predator.
Right.
Or
I mean, I think
like
it's
that.
A little... Well, it's a PG-13 movie, and I think it's certainly surer of what kind of movie it means to be than something like Land of the Lost, which that movie really...
Oh, that was just a mess.
Which was just a mess. But
but Shia is too old to be talking to Bumblebee now. It should be like Josh Hutcherson, younger.
There was a whole plot element about how he had to grow beyond Bumblebee.
Bumblebee, I love you, but I'm in college now. And,
right.
And it's like,
that's
how can this kid... Thank you. How can this kid go back to college after the first film when there's the special military unit, Josh Duhamel and Tyrese are now in charge of the Autobots,
Right.
They're working with them, so they drop them off in hot zones. By the way, when they drop out of the C-13, they're in their car form. So it's really funny seeing semi-trucks and cars coming out the back of a C-13, and then they transform. I thought it was funny. So now, here this kid is like their best friend and holds all these answers, and he's just going to go to school.
Well,
like he's like
have
a normal
a life,
kid.
Man.
Yeah, but he should, if there's always a threat out there, But he can't rise to the occasion. If there's something wrong, he can't leave school and save the world. He's got to sit there and argue with with the Autobots, you know?
Right. I mean, they got to give him some. I can't believe I'm defending this stuff, but yeah. I mean, they got to give him some angst and some character development, and they have a little subplot about him and Megan Fox and whether their characters are going to say they love each other. And it's all ridiculous and worthless, yeah. But at the same time, they have to sort of at least give lip service to that.
And Megan looks beautiful, well, and she runs with her mouth open, and she defends herself saying, you know, she has some films coming up this fall that shows her acting chops, and she knows the kind of movie she's in. She knows all of that, you know? Right. But even in this movie, there's a second Megan Fox type girl. By the way, the Transformers, the Decepticons can take on human form, by the
way. Well, yeah, but just the one. That didn't make any sense.
It didn't make any sense at all. So it's starting to look like Species. So now it tries to invade his brain, and she's hot. I always thought, you know, did Megan Fox go, wait a minute, why is there another hot little young thing?
Because
you know,
I guess they
around?
Figure, why are people seeing this movie? They're seeing this for the hot chicks, for Megan Fox and all the other hot chicks.
And the explosions.
And the
explosions.
Well, and the robots. So if you can take the hot chicks and the robots and combine them, if only
for 2.5
the
hours.
Hot chick robot had exploded, you would pretty much have the entire movie all combined in one character.
And then she walks in and catches him in his dorm room. Oh, how could you cheat on me? And then there's all these loud noises, and she's trying to kill him and comes back. All is forgiven, and then we start a race around the world.
Right. And it's all irrelevant. And
I love John Turturro, by the way. I thought the movie began with him. It should have started with him because he's been fired now. He's, what, Sexter 7 or whatever it was. He's this big conspiracy guy. He's got all the answers. He was funny. I thought he was a great little I have to find something I like in this movie.
Yeah.
He was cool on all the jokes and he was saying, not on my watch, the ultimate American, the John Wayne character in the film. I just wish he wasn't paired up with that Ramon guy because he was so annoying, the other comic relief in the movie. And but and I don't know if you want to talk about this, but I saw it right out there is the one, the racist characters in it.
Yeah,
and
sure,
the anti-American messages in this movie.
Anti-American?
Oh, my
messages?
God. Right.
So?
Slap me in the face with. Well, first of all, he lands what on top of the Empire State Building, one of the Decepticons, literally picks up the American flag and throws it.
Right. Well, I mean, do you think that makes the movie anti-American, or is it just sort of making
the
villains?
But I know what you're supposed to incite the audience by him throwing the flag down.
Well, I mean,
this is not Independence Day, or it's a Saturday morning cartoon. It's a family film, borderline. What someone consciously said, let's have him pick up the flag and throw it down. Now, what is that going to do to everyone over 10 years old?
Well, but I think he's the villain, so it makes you angry. He's. I mean, I didn't notice this aspect. I did notice some of the racism, but I mean.
And the other thing is, the most incredible effect, you know, but it was inappropriate, was one of the Decepticons destroys an aircraft carrier. It gets split in half. You see thousands of servicemen drowning. You see thousands of servicemen burning to death.
But
it's inappropriate for the context of this kind of film. If it was Independence Day 2, sure,
Independence Day is also a PG-13 movie that I think a lot of families went to see. And in movies like this, I mean, it may not be admirable, but the fact is that violence is lacks consequences in these kinds of movies.
Right.
And it's not surprising to me. I mean, the fact that all of those servicemen are sliding off the ship and presumably going to their deaths doesn't even register, I think, with half of the audience. It didn't register with me. And I think, I mean, we may object to that, but I don't think that's a problem specifically with this movie. I think that is the case.
I just thought it was inappropriate. I mean, I'm not saying overall, but I mean, I thought Michael Bay, somebody consciously said, we're putting the scenes in here, especially when the military has such a following for Michael Bay. And when I was at the junket, there were a lot of people there representing military channels, overseas channels, and we talked about it, and they go, man, we noticed that too.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was overkill. All the military, all the Air Force guys being killed, it could have been handled differently. You know, they could have survived or something. I just thought it was inappropriate for the context of this movie, and I definitely saw anti-American. That was a statement. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You don't sit there and go, hey, let's have him pick up the American flag and throw it. You know, I mean, and that was its own little scene. It was something specific.
But I mean, I just think there's a difference between whether that's the movie's perspective or that's simply something that they're depicting. I mean, these are the villains. You're not meant to cheer their actions.
Right.
You're not meant to
destroy New York City, and then that's villain enough. But when you make a political statement like that, I'm sorry, that's political.
If
he went to Japan or Canada or the UN and took all the flags, sure, then he's mad at the world. But to do something specific like that, I mean, that was just, it was obvious.
Really?
I just find
it really hard to believe because Michael Bay, as you said, he has a huge military following, and I see him as...
I'm a liberal too, by the way.
I
sound like a conservative talking, you know, it's not like Rush Limbaugh, but you know what? I don't read politics in a movie. It just slapped me in the face because this kind of movie, I'm sorry, it's Transformers, you know, it's cartoons, it's toys.
Right. Well, I don't think you need a political statement in this movie, but I don't know. I didn't read as much into that as you did, and I think there's a lot of positive portrayal of the military. I mean,
there's a positive portrayal, but I'm seeing those two specific scenes.
Yeah.
I thought the aircraft carrier was an amazing sequence, but you know what? It was
inappropriate. I mean, I think you have a point about that. Where
it's like watching movies with reversible violence, you know, someone at a convenience store, and they come in and brutally killed. You know, it's just, is that necessary? It's just, there's certain, you know, sometimes it's necessary. like natural born killers. But if it wasn't portrayed in a kind of make believe kind of movie, it was realistic, and it just I thought it was inappropriate.
Right. So. I mean, it isn't necessary here. It doesn't contribute to the plot. I mean, I don't mind movies that depict extreme violence if they have something to say.
Right. But I mean, it bothers me, and I'm aware of it.
Right.
My
and
point
it distracts
is.
You. It takes you out of the film.
Exactly. And those did. And then the racist thing, you know, you have the two Autobots. I mean, two Autobots. Flaps and Mud Flaps
Skids,
and Skids.
I think it was.
Basically, you know, African-American stereotypes with a gold tooth. We can't read.
Right.
Calling people bitch ass. And I mean, it was just so step and fetch.
That
it was
really
just like Jar Jar Binks.
Right.
And I'm sitting there, you got to be kidding me. Right. And of course, kids, you know, 15 and under relate to those characters because of the hip-hop culture. They don't see anything wrong with it.
Right.
They don't see anything like that. But I just thought if that were black actors up there doing that, there'd be an outcry.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like,
and it's
believe,
just it's just lazy, too, on the part of whether it's or it's the writers or the voice actors or whoever it is. It's just, I mean, and I think it's indicative of all the humor in this movie is really lazy, is really obvious and juvenile and not appropriate. But yeah, that sort of casual racism, and I'm sure they would shrug it off by saying, well, it's not racist. And
no, I've read Michael Bay. He says, oh, no, it wasn't that. The actors went in there and they interpreted, they did it. They wanted to go with the way, I thought, great, go with what you want. And that's what they interpreted it, you know.
Right.
And one of them was a black actor, one was a white actor. So it's like, oh, yeah, so they're both going to talk that way and the gold tooth. And it just – I saw – it was just so embarrassing because – I don't know. It's just because I keep thinking it's a family film. You know, that's what I interpret it as.
And I don't know if it's quite as family a film as you think it is.
Going into it, I thought it was, you know.
I mean, I think the target audience for this is more – people who are now like in their 20s and 30s and who love Transformers.
I disagree.
Because, I mean, those seem like the people who are the biggest fans of it. I mean, yeah, there's kids, but I think those are the hardcore. Those are the people who are going to see it at midnight when it first opens.
Oh, true,
and who are going to see it over and over again.
No, I think younger seeing it over and over again.
Yeah.
I mean, at 2.5 hours, you know, I remember when I was there, I would see that thing 3 times. I would sit there and not leave, you know. And again, that's what it is. This is one of those kind of movies where, you know, people are going to go see it because it's Transformers, there's hype, and everyone wants to see the great effects and stuff.
Right.
But when you look at it as a movie, you come out just feeling so empty because
and
not only that, you know, and people they criticize me, but you know what, we have digital sound now, and those things, it was so loud you can damage your hearing from seeing a movie like this. You know, I mean, they had, I know, roll your eyes, but I mean, I came out with the worst headache
because
they had this thing when the logo came on.
Right.
Like, oh my
it
god,
it can be, it depends on where you see it.
I'm not saying all theaters, but when I saw it in IMAX, which was pretty cool, it was incredibly loud, but
right
well, it's just, I mean, so obnoxious.
It
this
is obnoxious.
Movie's just like
And it's mind-numbing, I think, even, you know, the 2.5 hour length of it, and then you talk about the special effects or, like, the explosions, and wow, the explosions are spectacular, but when everything explodes all the time...
For 20 minutes at a time.
It's not special, it's not exciting, because that's all there is to the movie, is just endless explosions.
And then Megan and Shy have to have a little moment alone in between that and talk about where their relationship is going.
Right,
and
which
it's
is
like,
just as worthless. It's just as worthless. So,
this is a horrible movie.
It is a bad movie, wow.
But it's going to do really well. And
that's unfortunate, because
there'll
there
be a sequel, I'm sure, it'll be a trilogy. And
and
you know what, I haven't seen the first one again. I mean, it was cool, but I never watched it on Disney.
No,
I never got it.
I didn't like the first one either. I mean, I didn't like either of them, and I disliked this just as much as the first one, and I wouldn't, but I haven't seen it since it first opened. So yeah, I give this 2 out of 5 stars, but you're convincing me it's even worse, I think.
And we still haven't talked about everything we can talk about. I mean, it'd take a good hour to talk about just the bad things about this movie. I mean, it's just an utter mess.
It is.
And I feel bad because I spoke to the cast and they were awesome, and they were
I'm sure they're all
and you
very
feel
nice
bad.
People.
You feel bad, you know, but I've read some of my other critic friends, you know, online and stuff like that, and ooh, man, we're nice. I mean, they're just, it's scathing. It really is. So.
Right. Yeah, it's not a good movie. So and you went to the junket and spoke to a lot of the people.
I spoke to the cast and they. It's funny because, you know, when you're in a situation like this, we talked about, you know, them representing the military and what it means to them, or, you know, stuff like that. I don't basically go in there and go, man, this was crap.
No,
what was
of
your,
course not.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, what do you talk about in a movie like this?
Right.
You talk about, hey, you went to Egypt. Oh yeah, what was that like? Oh, it was we went in the pyramid and got a tour. So we talk about the experience of the movie more than the movie itself.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So, but.
Yeah, well, you're not going to get a lot of discussion of subtext from people like that. But yeah, no. I think Megan Fox
I wish Michael Bay was there, but he won't do interviews,
okay,
A movie like that, you need the director. And I think, you know, people say he has such a really bad reputation. He's a prima donna and he's a real jerk. And I've interviewed him once or twice. I didn't get that from him, but that was 10 years ago, like Pearl Harbor.
Well,
or something.
Yeah, he's a little bigger these days, and he definitely can call his own shots. But yeah, I've read interviews with Megan Fox, and she seems like a really interesting person, and her perspective on the movie seems to be a good one in that she knows she's there to be eye candy or whatever, and she's okay with that. And I think it's far more interesting to me to read an interview with her than it was to watch this movie.
Right. But you know what? Good for her. I mean, that's what Hollywood's all about. She's young. She's hot. She's in some of the biggest opener of all time and on a Wednesday. Good for her. I mean, that's what she's doing. And she gets that kind of clout and credibility where she can make something else that means something to her maybe someday.
Right.
You know, or if she never makes another movie again, she can sit there and go, I made two of the biggest action films of all
she's
time.
She's got money and she's got
I got
fame,
my house and, you know, and Palisades paper.
Right, right. So good for
and
her.
She's hot.
And she's hot. That always helps.
Yes.
And now after spilling all this bile on Transformers, I do want to take a moment.
Is someone going to clean up in here? Because it's all over the floor. Is there a maid around here?
Jeff is ranting, running around the room. I do want to take a moment to mention a movie that's opening this Friday here in Vegas over at the Village Square, and I think it will maybe one or two other theaters, called Away We Go, which is from Sam Mendes, who directed Revolutionary Road and American Beauty, Road to Perdition.
Cabaret on Broadway?
There you go. Yep. Cabaret and a lot of other theater. He's done.
Incredible director. Yeah.
And as a filmmaker, he's made a lot of really serious, weighty films and movies that have been nominated for Oscars and stuff like that. And this movie is a lot more breezy. It was made quickly, sort of on the heels of Revolutionary Road. And it's a comedy. It's John Krasinski from The Office and Maya Rudolph, who was on Saturday Night Live. They play this couple. They're about to have a baby, and they're trying to figure out their lives. So they go on this sort of trip around the country to see various friends and family and figure out where they want to live and how they want to start their family and raise their child. And it's a little schematic. It kind of is, it's an episodic kind of thing. They go to one city and they see some people and they sort of learn a lesson from those people, and each couple or family they encounter.
The journey drives the plot.
Right, exactly.
It's a road movie.
It is a road movie, although they sort of take different modes of transportation. But I think the performances in it are very warm and real and funny. And that kind of the couple, they carry you through the movie even as you're bouncing from one locale to another. And it's funny. I mean, it was actually quite a lot funnier than I thought it would be. I thought it would be a little more serious and somber. And it does have that towards the end. But it's just a nice, pleasant experience. I think it's not the greatest movie of the year or anything, but I think it's a good departure for Sam Mendes. He still has, you know, tight control over, I think, shot composition and pacing and stuff like that. But it's a little more relaxed. It's a little looser. And it's just a fun, entertaining film. And I think if you're looking for something low-key and just to have a good time, but something that's not empty, I think it's, you know, it's worth checking out. And I mean, anything is probably worth checking out over Transformers. But as far as what's opening this week, I would definitely recommend that. I give that 3.5 stars out of 5. And I think
it's been
that's
a miserable
fun.
Summer. We've had a really shaky start.
It's been up and down. I mean, there's been
Star
some
Trek's
good stuff.
The only thing.
Star Trek. I mean,
I
like
Lost. Unbelievable.
Drag Me to Hell. I liked.
Yeah.
I liked that more than
you
did.
No, I'm a Raimi fan. No, yeah. I did too. People don't get that movie. They don't understand his sense of humor.
Which is a shame.
If you don't know Evil Dead and people are watching this and go, why are you laughing? It's like, because it's comedy horror.
Yeah,
it's never fun. It's never been done. Yeah.
That movie has been, I mean, it hasn't made a whole lot of money, and I think that's too bad because I think it's
like the tentpole films, like Star Trek. I mean, the big ones, the expectations.
Right,
so far, Star Trek's the only one.
But
and Land of the Lost, I don't even know.
Well, Land of the Lost was terrible. But I mean, I think to me, most of those tentpole films end up being disappointing overall. If there are a couple, I mean, Star Trek I really enjoyed, and
Terminator was a letdown.
Terminator was lame, yeah. I mean, I did like The Hangover. I thought that was very entertaining.
I love The Hangover,
The Hangover,
surprise,
really good.
Hit.
I enjoyed Up. It's not my favorite Pixar movie, but I thought that was entertaining.
No, you didn't see it.
Yeah,
I'll
get
around to it.
Those are, to me, that's enough. Like, if I can recommend a few
of those.
But
it's only June.
Right. So it's only, and then we've still got more to come.
Right, right.
So,
but so far, it's what, 20% win there?
Yeah, I think that's okay. Like, honestly, the law of averages, that's good. I mean, compared to previous summers, if there are, like, two really good tentpole films, if there was another movie, a big effects blockbuster kind of movie as good as Star Trek this summer, then to me that's a great summer if there's two that are that good, because that was a really good movie. And most of them,
maybe G.I. Joe will be that for you.
Yeah, I really doubt that.
I don't even know what else is coming out this summer. I get so you know, you get so brainwashed with Transformers, you come out of it just kind of like you're in a daze. Just, you can't think straight.
People have to resist the brainwashing and go see something else. That's what I hope.
Don't get the Bumblebee Slurpee. It tastes terrible too. I did try it.
Did it taste like bumblebees?
I don't know, but that was so lame. And you'd think they wouldn't fix his voice box by now. I know the character is he plays all these different sound bites and all that, but it's just so lame.
So many issues with this film.
It is, you know.
All right, well, so don't go see Transformers if you can avoid it. Check out Away We Go in theaters now.
Isn't that Jackie Gleason? Away We Go.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right.
Am I too old? Okay. I'm showing my age.
It's all right.
Yeah, here we go, and Away We Go.
Yeah, all right. I'm sure you're right. I'm not a Jackie Gleason viewer.
Well, I wasn't alive when it was on. I saw it later. So.
No, okay. No, that's good. I should. I should fill in my gaps of knowledge there with Jackie
useless
Gleason.
Useless trivia. Yes, that's what, useless exactly. knowledge is what trivia
that's
is.
That's all we do.
You want me on your team for entertainment on that game there.
All right. My thanks to Jeffrey K. Howard for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me. Sorry I was late.
That is no problem.
What was it 5 minutes?
No one can tell on the podcast.
The refreshments are gone, so I thought you were really mad. Usually there's something for me to drink.
I apologize. We'll stock the fridge for you next time.
And thank you to Greenspun Media for having me.
Yes. For Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.